questions for us. If you have a question for us, raise your hand. We'll get you a mic. We'll start up front here with Jenna.
Jenna Fryer, AP, congrats, Ross. Kind of a weird question. You raised Blaney totally hard. I get it. You're racing for the win. Like, what's your mindset there? And does any of it play into beyond, I want to win this race? I'm a Chevy guy. He's a Ford racing Chevys.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was in every thought, every corner, every throttle application, every brake input, every downshift, upshift, all parts of the lap. I was not going to crash him. I was not going to use my front bumper, side fenders, anything. Dirty air? Different story. Yeah, I'm going to, and I'm going to keep the lead because that's everything. So before the second to last run, I thought we had him covered. And then, coming to the end of stage two, the 17 drove by me. I couldn't hold him off. Made some adjustments. Got too loose. We were too tight. Then we were too loose. Then we were too tight again when Blaney and the 19 were right there. And that last caution came out. And I just asked Phil and our group to please let me turn better, make the car turn better without giving up any rear grip. And then we were able to drive away. So I just knew that if I could hold him off, you know, and he got by me one time, I was able to get back by him. Was not going to run him up. Was not going to pinch him up. Yeah, I know he's mad, and I don't care. I do not care. I did not care then. I do not care now. I'm here to race him. I'm not going to wreck him. And I gave him the bottom most times. One time I was inside of him was after he got by me. I crossed back over into three, and I made sure to wrap the bottom. Like, I'm not going to slide up and pinch him at all. It's in my mind the entire time, for sure.
Why did you run on your
back? Anger. He gets angry. It's okay. I've known him for a decade, and I could see him moving around in the car, and the car's going straight, and I can see his colorful suit and gloves. I didn't see, apparently, there was, I was number one, I don't know, but I could see, like, movement when I checked the camera, and I was like, oh, he is angry, and then, the caution came out, and we made the right adjustment, and we were able to drive away, so, yeah, it's nothing other than wanting to win and wanting to hold track position. And he could run second and win the championship. He did it last year. He could do it again. And he ultimately did it.
Yeah. Go up here to Nate.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Following up on a lot of that, Ross, were you surprised, given everything that was at stake for him, that he's running in the back of you and really forcing the issue? Or, I mean, you said you've raced him so long. Is he always that aggressive? Were you expecting that, or...?
Yeah. No, I didn't expect him to throttle up, down in one and two and drive square into me. But these cars allow that. They do. And the 19, he didn't care about the 19. He probably just assumed the 19 win over me. I don't know. But, unexpected. And that last caution couldn't have came out, like, at a better time. I was so thankful. But didn't account for guys on two tires. Didn't expect to be second row. Thought I'd be front row again, kind of no matter what. So, not surprised by it, but because it's him and he does that, and these cars allow that. They allow, like, just, I don't know, inconsequential hits, but they also don't affect the front car as much either. Like, I slid, but I was able to hold the lead.
And then in your answer to Jenna, I was struck by the fact that, like, hey, I'm here to race. I'm not going to give an inch. Like, that's how you always race. But the ethos of this race for the non-championship four guys has been, as Steve Wittart would say, racing with mittens. That, like, it almost seems like that's why we've had nine consecutive winners who were champions until you told Dave Burns out there that, like, you were proud of winning this race because you've done something that's never been done before. Do you feel like you also kind of set a new standard for maybe how to race the championship four guys today? Are you proud of that as well?
Well, I'm proud that we won, and I watched practice back Saturday morning, and I heard Dale Earnhardt Jr. say, like, Ross will be one that'll get up and race these guys. And I paused it, and I was sitting there, and I'm like, what, would I do that? I don't know. That seems kind of aggressive. And then I clicked in, and I didn't really have an answer for myself. Like, I asked myself, would I race them? And I was like, well, I'll race them, but would I, like, he was like, he's going to race them aggressive. He'd be one that'll do it. If there's anybody that'll do it, he will, or however he said it. And I was like, I don't know. Kind of undetermined. And then I got out there and I was like, I'm doing it. I am racing them, but the difference was is I'm not going to use my front or front bumper, front fenders, like side. I'm not going to pinch them up into the wall. I'm not going to fence. Like, I didn't mean to fence Larson at Darlington, but I did it. Like, I was not going to do that. I was not going to drive into the corner. And like when he cleared me down into one, like I was like, I'm not going to try to like make it anything other than cross him over and do it clean and then have leverage into three and wrap the bottom. And it worked. And I was like, holy cow. Like, he passed me. He's faster, but I got right back by him. He did not. I don't even think he led the lap. So, yeah, in my mind the whole time. And proud of the precision driving we all did. You know, the only contact was him just in a moment of anger, just throttling up in one and two to drive square into my back bumper. Other than that, no contact. And, you know, that's what I'm here to do.
Come up here to Lee.
Ross, I'm just kind of curious, ending this year on a high note, I mean, do you kind of think of what could have been if the years were reversed and you were in the championship four last year? I mean, does it make that any easier coming out of here with a win, knowing that it's possible, that it's capable, that you can do that if you get to the championship four again?
For me, it's an evolution of Trackhouse and GM with this car, right? It's year two. We finished up year two with this car. We came out so fast last year. We found it in the last Charlotte Oval test, and then we came out to road courses everywhere, and we won on road courses, super speedways. We didn't win on the oval last year. We won there this year. We sustained that level of competition. Look, we've had our fair share of 8th place days and 18th place days and sometimes 22nd place days, like, straight up. So, it's just a continuation in a we're staying here. We're not going away. Like, we're disruptive on track, usually by my driving. Like, but it goes with the disruptiveness of Justin and Pitbull and our leadership team doing things different and having a real presence in Nashville and us keep like holding events there and keeping a presence there on Broadway. For something outside of Charlotte and Concord and the Lake Norman area, our shops in Concord, all of our employees are there except for Justin and the brain trust of the marketing side. So, I just love that we're staying here and we're continuing to be fast. Our processes are working and we trust them and we continue to see it through.
Go ahead, Wolfgang.
Wolfgang Munzer from Germany, Rennsport Press Agency. First of all, congratulations. I hope my question is not too personal for you. I was confused at the podium ceremony after your race and your winning. You smashed the watermelon. Can you explain why?
Yes, Wolfgang. Good to see you. I think the last time we talked, it might have been at this podium in 2019. I was also very excited about the future, and then obviously it didn't come to fruition. But I guess I was up here last year for championship stuff, and I'm having flashbacks of that day, and it's good to have you back. I'm an 8th-generation watermelon farmer, and anytime I can put agriculture on a bright light stage like this with these incredibly bright lights as you guys go in and out of focus for me, it's what I want to do. We're a small part of the 1% that's in charge of feeding the other 99% of us that rely on farmers to eat every day. And you know, if it's smashing a watermelon on the front stretch and then in victory lane, it's just to shine a bright light and promote agriculture. And hopefully, win on Sunday, sell on Monday, we sell some watermelons tomorrow. And then my platform is incredible. So I get to kind of, obviously, we have our corporate partners at Trackhouse is able to, you know, put on my car. And then I also get to do what I want. It's my life. It's my career. It's my platform. And so, you know, something like bringing farmers to the racetrack next year, starting at the Daytona 500 with our Ag to Asphalt program, is just a simple way for me that I can just tell farmers thank you, let them enter on agtoasphalt.com, and they can come enjoy the races. We had a Bear Seminis, now at Seedway guy, with his kid this weekend. Kid had never been to a race. That kid is hooked. And that's the same way with other farmers that will be here next year. So, I just want to promote what my family has done for a really long time. Most of the families in the room, if you go back far enough, all of y'all, your family's farmed at some point. They were smart enough to get out of it, okay? There was some not so good days, and my granddad remembers them. But for my dad's generation and my generation, it's been better days. And these, I believe, are the good old days. So promoting agriculture is top of mind for me. So, yeah, smashing it is just what I do. And I'm going to keep doing it, hopefully, for a really long time. That's right. That's right. The crowd, I was a little worried that they might be focused on Blaney. I went down to 3 and 4 where NASCAR wanted me to go. And I did a burnout by them. Me and Blaney did burnouts by each other. That was pretty cool. I was worried we were going to run into each other. And then, yeah, the reaction was just as strong as the other wins. And I'm really proud of that. I'm really proud that people see that how much I care whenever we win. Every race, there's one right inside the hauler. Look, yeah, we've had a bit of a rough patch, so it's been in there a little bit, but watermelon has never tasted as sweet as it does in Victory Lane. And I'm going to gnaw this thing all the way down. Yeah, that's right. It's a great koozie.
Go over here.
Ross, Trey Matthews, Cronkite News, PBS. You described a little while ago how you were personally racing Blaney, how you were going for the win, and you didn't care that he was racing for a championship. But I want to ask you, how would you describe Blaney's race style, whether it was this race or previous competitions that you may have had now that he is the champion?
Well, I do want to – maybe I said it wrong earlier, but I do care. I care – arguably out there more than anybody, because I was not going to put him in a position to damage his car in any way or put his car in a bad spot other than keep him behind me. And as long as he's behind me, it's all I cared about. We're all different. He reacts physically in the car. He says stuff on the radio for sure, but I've known him that he you can see them. They wear bright neon yellow, so you can see it easily. I believe that I cared arguably more than him. He didn't have to pass me to win the championship. He could stay right there. There was no other competitor for points within any sight of me. It was the 19, the 12, and the 1, third, second, first. So, I'd say I cared more than anybody. As long as he was running second. He didn't need to run first. He didn't run first last year. And his teammate won, and now he could run second again and win championship.
Cooper Burns, BlazeRadioOnline.com over here. Ross, how difficult was it to just run pretty much from yellow line to the wall today? It seemed like everywhere was working. You were on the bottom. You were on the top. How difficult was that? And also just, not only racing, but fending off all those guys in all those different lanes.
Yeah, the track changed a lot, and we had speed all weekend. We knew that, and as we moved around in the race, when I started the first run, I could see the people in front of me moving up, so I moved up with Harvick and with a few of the guys. By the way, that was incredible to race with him like that, like restart side by side with him. In his last race was just, I actually got a little emotional in the car. I was like looking over, and then we were coming to the restart, and I'm warming my tires. I'm like, don't feel sorry for him. Go pass him. Like, it's a race. And drove off into turn one and was able to get the lead. But, we would start on the bottom. And then I asked once I had the lead and had the front couple spots when they were moving up, when guys were moving up off the bottom. And Brandon and Phil were giving me updates of when it was a little early, when they were already half the field was up there. So, our car was versatile. I could go places. I could place it a little half turn of brake bias to tighten me up as I went throughout the run. And I could place it and still make speed. There's been times here at Phoenix with this group. Our first race here in the 42 car in 2021 was my first race with Phil Surgeon and my engineers. And we were the slowest car into turn one by far. Like, I couldn't get in the corner. I had to slow down. And I'd argue that there weren't many people faster than us today, and I could place it where I wanted to.
Go to Jonathan over here on the left.
Jonathan Field, the Racing Experts. What a season, first of all. I know you've faced some challenges. What is it like to just put a, I guess, an exclamation on the exclamation point on the season with what you did today?
Indescribable. It's honestly hard to put into words what this means. What winning in Cup feels like, I cannot describe it. I cannot describe the ripple effects this will have going into the off season, preparing for next year. You know, Justin Marks hired me, Trackhouse hired me, and Justin knew who I was. I've wrecked Justin Marks in the Xfinity races before. Daniel Suarez has wrecked Justin Marks in Xfinity races before. He knew who he was hiring when he put us two behind the wheel of his two cars. And, you know, through all the stuff, he stayed with us. There was definitely public stuff that I wouldn't have said. But he's my boss, and he gets to say it. He owns the team. And I got to be the employee at that point. As an independent contractor, I had to listen to what he says if I want to drive the car. And so y'all got to watch that. Y'all got to watch me learn through that process. Our sport is incredibly invasive for professional and personal things that people say if they say them publicly, which y'all will put a microphone in front of us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week if we'll allow it. So it is so, so good to end this season with all the stuff, right? And the best way I can describe it, just a lot of stuff. And that's Cup racing. I'm going to make mistakes. And they knew that, hiring me. And through the good days of winning and the bad days of crashing out, going for wins or spinning people out, ultimately, they're there for me. And this is a great way to go enjoy the off season.
Okay, we'll take one more. We'll go to John.
John Newby, NBC Sports. So I asked William Byron and Kyle Larson earlier, you know, just about the future of the sport, you know, the guys that will keep contending for championships year after year after year. Is it exciting for you knowing that you will potentially be in this group and that you've won at, you know, some of the most important tracks you need to?
Yes. To say my name next to guys like Kyle Larson, hard for me to believe it. It's hard for me to understand it, comprehend it. Early last year when we won at COTA, we walked back in the shop that was CGR, the shop that I had been at for so many good things of getting the jobs, winning the Xfinity race, then it's all gone. Now I'm the third Cup driver in the 77 with Spire. Now we're coming in as a 42 driver. Like, for those win parties, I had a bit of like imposter syndrome or something. I didn't really believe it. And I'm having a bit of it now whenever you like look long term and you're like, you're saying, like, maybe I'm going to be competing. That's pretty wild. But I feel like, yes, we're going to celebrate this. And obviously, we have no racing. I think my next race now is maybe Speedfest at Watermelon Capital Speedway in January. I got some time to celebrate, but a lot of work to do. I mean, there was a lot of tracks this year I did not show up, me personally, giving my best effort, just from a gas and brake and steering perspective of things. Worked a lot on Phoenix over the last few months, and I put that into action today. And then together with the car being incredibly good, you saw that. So, I don't really know how to comprehend that maybe in a couple of years we're still doing this. I'm human. I go back to my past, and I've had things taken away that were a sure bet. I thought it was, you know, a one direction all the way up the mountain. And had to go find another mountain to climb, and we found it, and we're climbing it. So I feel like as long as I get up and I do my best, I put my work in, I go to work, and I surround myself with good people, and I trust our processes that, yeah, we'll see.
Ross, congratulations on the big win, and enjoy the off season.
Y'all too.